Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm interested in this because we're here to tell people or show people what it's like being a personal chef. You share with us your journey there. What would you describe as the perception versus the reality?
Oh, great question, man. I love that. You know, everybody thinks you just show up and you walk into a house and you go in there and you're in this kitchen by yourself, and then you're plating up, and then you're cooking, and everything works perfect, and da-da-da-da, and everything's lovely. Man, that is so far from the truth.
Hi. Welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business, learn something, laugh at something. On today's episode, we welcome Chef Gaison.
Yeah.
What is it like being a private chef? But first, the intro.
Tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired and hired the same day. If you know the rules of the game, then you'll stay.
As usual, I'm joined by my good friend Danny DeVilla.
What's up, what's up, what's up?
And we have in studio Chef Gaison.
Hello, hello. I'm glad to be here.
What's up, brother?
I'm glad to be. I'm blown away right now. I'm not saying that. I'm serious. I am like blown away.
Well, Chef, what is it that you say you do here?
Being a private chef, man, is definitely different, man. It's a new world right now, man. Mm-hmm. It's definitely a new world. When I first came out, when I was a private chef, it wasn't many of us, man. I remember back, oh, man, I was in culinary school.
How'd you get into being a private chef?
Well, the thing was, it's so funny, man. I was at, you know, being in a restaurant, man, you work, man. I'm there in New Orleans, and I mean, you work. I mean, I love what I'm doing. I love cooking. I love food. I knew that's what I was supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. I knew that's what I wanted to be. I knew there was nothing else I wanted to do but cook, because cook is my purpose. My passion is what I want to do. But, man, I work so much, man. I mean, I can literally remember Mardi Gras, man. Mardi Gras, watching parade go by, and I'm in a restaurant. And I'm like just watching the parade go by, or like working on Sundays and missing Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And just missing life, you know what I mean? And then I had, at that time, I had a son. I had a son who had cancer, and unfortunately he passed away. But then I missed so much time, you know what? Because I was
you reflected on that.
I was just working, man. I mean, you're just constantly working, and your life, being a chef, it consumes you. Mm. So that's why you gotta, you know, I tell people, young people come to me, I want to be a chef. I'm like, man, are you sure? This is a different world.
Yeah.
And I know what you see on social media. I know all the Food Network, and you see all this stuff, and everybody's cool and all this other stuff.
But
man,
that's like the 1%.
Right. It's a world, and then the money's funny at times, stuff like that. So I was sitting at home one time, and I was watching Food Network, and Shaquille O'Neal came on there with his chef back in the day, and I said, "Oh, private personal chef like that." And he was talking about how he cooked his food and stuff like that. And I never really heard of it like that. And I was like, huh. I said, all right. So I went home and I just sat there. I said, personal chefs. So I looked like, I looked New York. Mm-hmm. I seen personal chefs. I said, okay, they got personal chefs. I did a little more research. I saw California.
Yeah.
I seen personal chefs. And I said, well, I'm here in Louisiana. Let me see how many personal chefs we have in Louisiana, in the New Orleans, Louisiana. It was 2.
Oh, wow.
That's what I said. It was older retired ladies that was just retired doing something. And they really didn't even answer their phone and thing like that. So they was just doing it because they was retired and wanted. Mm. And I was like, and it went like this. Ping.
Yeah, man. Light bulb moment.
I was like, bing. I was like, there's no person. Then I was like, and then that's how I started doing my research. And that's how I saw how you try to get involved. I looked at for insurance and things like that. And then it just started, man. I'm telling you, man, it was like a snowball effect. I remember. I was in culinary school, and I worked for this family. God, filthy rich, man. Rich. He passed away, but his name was Morris Newman. I mean, he had more money than money can have. You know? And he hired me as his personal chef. Very intimidated. I was scared. I didn't know. I mean, you didn't have social media back then, stuff like that. So in his kitchen, I mean, life is funny how it works, man. In his kitchen, he had like this whole library of cookbooks. Mm-hmm. So he would come in, oh, yeah, I want a grandma, yeah, souffle, and I want, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I don't know how to, so I had to go to the little library, I had to pull books open, so I was learning stuff and things like that, and he saw the passion I had.
Yeah.
He could tell I was nervous a little bit, but he saw the passion I had, he saw that I was really trying and stuff like that, so he was very patient, tough on me at times, but very patient with me and stuff like that, and it just went from there, and it just started to grow, and then it was a snowball effect, man, and then it just happened, and then I got my first athlete, Stacy Augman. I don't know if you got.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I
knew
Plastic, Stacey Augman. Yeah. I got him. Somebody knew somebody that knew somebody.
And you worked with athletes.
Yeah, I was working with Stacy Augman, and then it just, you know, I got in that circle. It's one of those situations.
Yeah.
When you get in that circle.
Well, once you're in the game, you're in the game.
There you go. When you're in, you're out. You're out. You know what I mean? So I got in that circle, and so you know, then you know things would happen, events like that. Oh, Stacy has a chef, and then maybe Stacy. And then from him, I got Aaron Brooks because they were good friends.
Okay,
so I got Aaron Brooks, the quarterback at the Saints at the time. And then this was like right before Katrina and everything like that. So I got him, and I was working with him, and then Katrina hit.
Ooh!
And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
So during when Katrina hit, I was like, wow. I evacuated. I moved to Houston.
Okay. Were you working in Houston?
Well, no, well, no. We just I lost everything.
Yeah.
I mean, Katrina, I lost completely everything.
Oh. Mm.
So I was like, oh, man, I went to Houston. I was like, huh, okay, you know, this is a movie. You know what I mean? This is, you can't script this, man.
No.
I was like, when I say, it's not one of those, well, you came in. I'm thinking I'm going to go home. I'm going to open up my door.
There was no home.
It was, I was opening up my carpet. I was going to pull my carpet up and start life over. Might have lost. Went home. My house sat underwater for like 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Lost two cars. Lost everything in my house. So when we evacuate, you know, you evacuate, because we evacuated a lot, you know what I mean? Because every time there's always a hurricane, you got to evacuate.
Okay.
And during, honestly, well, that's a couple of days off. We get there ready to get out of
here. You always assumed you were coming back home.
Yeah, you always assumed you was coming out home, man. It was like, oh, that's a couple of days off, man. Let me get out of here.
So when you evacuated, essentially, whatever you took with you, that was all you had?
That's all you had. I had 3 days worth of clothes.
So Houston was essentially a rebirth.
Right, absolutely. So the thing was, I go to Houston, I'm sitting out there, and during COVID and all that, I mean, not COVID, Lord, forgive me.
Katrina.
The Saints draft Reggie Bush. My, I'm in Houston. I'm not even
Mr.
thinking
Heisman. About it.
I'm not even thinking about it. Man.
Maybe, I think they took it back.
So I'm at the gym in Houston, working out, okay, this, trying to figure out, okay, I'm trying to figure out life, man. I got kids. I mean, I got like, oh, man, okay, what am I going to do? Then I got to go home and, like, figure this out with my house and my cars and da-da-da-da-da. Then I get a call over the intercom. I'm in the gym, man. No one knows where I'm at. No one.
Hmm.
I get a call. Gayson Nelson, you got a phone call at the front. And I'm looking around like, is there
like who knows me?
I'm in Houston.
I'm like, so I go to, and then like, my people go, you're not gonna believe this. I'm like, well, what you talking about, man? And they're like, just got a phone call from New Orleans Saints, from Reggie Bush wants to meet you. I'm like, but man, that's, I'm thinking somebody in New Orleans is messing with me.
Yeah.
They say, you need to return this call. So I'm like, man, that's, come on, man. What's the odds of that? No one even know, man, whatever, man. So I didn't pay attention. Like 3 days later, they like, did you ever return it? I'm like, no, man. That's somebody. How would? So anyway, I returned
play
the call.
With me. Exactly.
And then I returned the call, and sure enough, man, was them. Wanted, you know, Reggie looking for a chef, man. I went down and worked with him, man.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I went down and interviewed for the job, and it was weird. It was like, I went down there to go, honestly, to look at my house, to go evaluate the situation like that. But why then, while I was there? I said, well, I'll go down there. Because in my mind, I'm like, New Orleans, you know, I've never been through nothing like that. New Orleans is not coming back. It's underwater. Da, da, da. There was still no lights in the city. There was no lights. We had no lights. There was a little bit of downtown that was lit up.
Yeah.
I lived in New Orleans East. It was gone. Mm. It was gone. You couldn't even drive in there to look at your house. You had to wait a certain period of time. Then they started letting people in to look at the house. So I said, okay, boom. So I snuck in, saw my house, went back there. And I said, I wasn't even trying to get the job, man. I was like, because I got to figure out life.
Yeah, you were thinking. You had a lot going on. You had a lot on your plate.
You know? So I go down there. I said, okay, I go down and I go meet him. And I cook for him, stuff like that. Okay, man, hey, you know, welcome to New Orleans, man. And, you know, hopefully, you know, once they figure this whole Katrina thing out, you know, whatever. And I forgot about it. He said, wait a minute, hold on, man, wait. He goes, I'm supposed to interview other chefs, man. He says, but I like you. I like your energy. I like your vibe. He says, then he calls people and he goes, I don't want to see nobody else. I want this guy right here.
Boom.
And I was like, whoa. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, you know good on I mean? You.
Because yeah. I'm still living in a hotel.
Yeah.
I didn't even have a word to know where to live.
And so at this point, what type of experience did you have as a private chef up until that point?
Well, I was working for Aaron Brooks, but okay. By that time we.
So you're on your second athlete. You had stopped and you athlete. Had stopped working for the older
guy, right? Yeah. Started working for Stacey Allman, then Aaron Brooks. And then what happened was we hired Sean Payton, and then he got rid of Aaron Brooks. So he brought in Drew Brees. And then that's when the change, the New Orleans Saints started changing stuff like that.
Yeah, started balling.
Then they started balling. Then they drafted Reggie Bush first, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they were building a team.
So I was there for the whole run, the whole rebuild, wow, yeah. Stuff like that. Matter of fact, when he got traded to Miami, he brought me with him. I lived in Sunny Isles here.
Did you?
We know that place.
I've never really been out here in this area. Yeah. There, but I lived in Sunny Isles when he played.
Close to Aventura right over there. Yeah, I know exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. So it was cool. So, but, you know, being a private chef, man, is, I mean, that's one thing. See, people, I think we talked about it earlier. People hear and see all of that, man. But, like you said, that's the 1%.
Yeah.
You got to know your stuff, man.
Absolutely.
And that's one thing I can't, if I can stress to anybody, man, if you want to do this, man, because you're the answer. You're the solution. There's no no.
Yeah.
There's no no.
All right. I'm interested in this because we're here to tell people or show people what it's like being a personal chef. You share with us your journey there. What, in your seat as you sit now, what were you describe as the perception versus the reality?
Oh, great question, man. I love that. You know, everybody thinks you just show up and you mm-hmm. walk into a house and you go in there and you're in this kitchen by yourself and then you're plating up and then you're cooking and everything works perfect and da-da-da-da and everything's lovely. Man, that is so far from the truth.
Now, do you bring your own tools to their kitchen?
You bring your own tools. Sometimes you see what they have.
Okay.
And then, too, you got to have personality, man.
Yeah.
That's one thing I tell people all the time. Because people want, so we're in a whole new world.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to want to talk to you. They're going to mm-hmm. want to yeah. see you. And if they hired you as their personal chef, they Googled you. They YouTubed you. Mm. They want to see who it is that they have. So when they see all your accolades and everything, they want to come in. They want to talk about the James Beard Award. They want to talk about me working for The Rock. They want to talk about me cooking at the Masters. They want to know this stuff. You yeah. know what I mean? So while you're in there doing this stuff, you got to be personable. You got to talk. I mean, your mind, you might have something in the oven. Mm-hmm. You might be timing that souffle in the
So while you're cooking,
yes, they're talking.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
They're talking,
I was thinking beforehand, maybe, and then leave me alone. Let me
they
go here.
Come to, oh, my sister's friend coming and he loves to cook and he wants to talk to you. And then there's the camera phones and things like that. And also, too, is when you walk in people's houses,
mm-hmm.
you don't know what you're walking into. Unless they send you a picture of the kitchen.
Yeah.
And you don't know what you walk into. So you might sit there, and the dining room table might be right there. So everybody's gathered around that mm-hmm. area.
Okay.
So you're maneuvering.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like an island.
You're right.
You could be on stage immediately.
Right. There you go. You're on the stage. You know
That's
what I mean?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, in a restaurant, the equipment's consistent.
Yes,
the environment is consistent. The tools, you got coming
even
in.
Even if it's a different layout, it's still consistent.
Yeah.
You know, right. I mean, you're going to have XYZ here, this there. It might be in different places, but it's still the same idea.
Yes.
And they don't, and you got to make it work, and they want a Michelin star meal. I got one for you guys. I got one for you, but I cannot make this up. I was hired to go do a private dinner in the French Quarter by these 14 lovely ladies, man. And I was like, okay, cool. I was excited. Blah, blah, blah. And I go there, I swear to you, I can't make this up, man. I go there to go do the dinner, and I'm excited, go upstairs, boom, boom. And I get in their Airbnb, and guess what? And this is a very sophisticated, this is a dinner with a lot of small
okay. elements. Intricate things, yeah.
Yes, you know, details, you know, so you had to have the oven.
Would they have a hot plate?
They had no kitchen.
Oh!
They had no kitchen.
That is outrageous.
I said, who put this together? And guess what they did? They looked at me like, what you gonna do?
What did you do?
Upstairs in the Airbnb, underneath it was an Asian restaurant. Mm. It was an Asian restaurant. You had to go up these stairs. And I said, I went downstairs. But now this is one thing I could say about this chef world. Chef to chef, he saw.
Yeah,
he saw my face.
I'm sure.
He saw my face. I said, chef, man.
I'm supposed to cook. I ain't got no oven.
I got nothing.
I got no fire.
Pretty much, I said, Chef, man, look, and he knew about the apartment upstairs. Mm. And I don't even know if he owned. I don't know, but he knew about. I said, Chef, man, I got this dinner up there. Da da da. And they was during service. They was right in the middle of service. So this is what he told me. But he saw my face, and I really respect this guy, man. He saw my face. He said, I took care. I'll tell you what. He gave me one eye, and he gave me a corner in the kitchen. Because they was busy.
Yeah. Mm.
So if they wasn't busy, he would have gave me more.
Yeah.
He would have gave me more room, but they were busy. He said, you can have that eye, and you can have that corner. He said, just don't get in our way. And I got it done. The servers would meet me at the stairs. I'll do the first course, and we got it done and stuff like that. And then, matter of fact, that night I went back and I tried to give him a couple $100 just to say thing. He wouldn't even take it.
Mm.
He wouldn't even take it. But he saw my face, chef to chef.
Yeah.
Okay.
He did you that solid.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So I was like, wow. So that's what I'm saying that people don't understand about. And then also, too, is you got to be. I mean, I've done dinners where, and also, too, is like when you are being a private chef, you know, these people are paying good money.
Mm hmm.
So you really want to give them an experience, man. I do my best to make my own breads, my own focaccias, my own yeast roll, my own pastas, your sauces and all that, because you want to give these people a real experience.
You want
to give these people an experience. You know what I mean?
That takes time.
Yeah, definitely, and they don't understand that. I've done dinners to where I started proofing and I drove 40 minutes and I had the bread proofing in the back of the car.
Oh, wow.
I swear to you.
Okay, so take me through. Let's say Danny and I put in the gig together 8 people, uh-huh. right? And we say, Chef, we want to eat around 7:30. We're going to hire you. What happens to your day leading around that 7:30?
Yeah, what time? And you pick your own menu in your head right now. Mm-hmm. And when do you start your day? And
where are you getting the stuff from?
Yeah.
And like, what's happening? Do you come in and you say, hey man, what kind of, you got a stove?
We have a full kitchen, but where does your day start and then lead us up to the 7:30 part?
Yeah.
Well, the thing, like something like, we'll go over to my people to call you to talk about the menu, pick the menu and stuff like that. I have, you know, I've been in it so long. So I have seafood guys, I have meat guys, mm-hmm. I have affairs. I do a lot of stuff at Whole Foods, a place called Langenstein, stuff like that. But you're going to get the price is going to be up there. I'm not going to lie. It's not cheap.
Should it be?
Quality's not cheap.
Right. So you're going to get the best. We did it. I did it done the other day. We had Wagyu straight. It was just phenomenal.
I mean, he eats healthy, so he already know it ain't cheap. So you can look around and say, he makes up shit. Look.
So that's one thing. If you're looking for something cheap, I'm not your guy. And also, because I'm making your sauces, I'm making your breads, I'm making your. I mean, everything. Now, there's some things, I will buy. You know what I mean? But, you know, I'm trying to give you. I'm making ice cream. I'm making everything.
Oh, wow.
I'm making pie crust. I'm making whatever. You know,
so what time are you getting? Okay, so are you doing stuff off site? Are you doing it all here?
I do stuff like I'm not. If you want me to come down and you say you just want, just hypothetically, you want some gumbo. I'm not gonna come to your house to make gumbo and be standing at 3. You know, no. So gotcha. I'll make the base in my kitchen. I'll come, then I'll add the seafood and stuff so it can be nice and pumpy and
ready to go. Yeah,
on property and stuff like that. And some things that I can pre-prep. That's not gonna.
Because you don't want to be in the houses forever.
Right. Because, you know, I definitely want you to see me cooking. I want to smell up your house. I want everybody to come and mm-hmm. I want to give you a show. I'll come out an hour and a half, 2 hours early, just depend and get ready to get situated. And then also, too, you got to look at people don't factor in. It takes 15, 20 minutes, man, to take the stuff out the car.
Oh, yeah.
To set it up.
True. Setup is legit. Yes. Yeah.
And
then you got to get somewhere mentally. You got to get to a place mentally, okay, you're ready. And then you got to get past, the chef's here. And you got to get past all that, and then you got to go in and learn the area, the stove, and okay, that worked. 9 out of 10 times, the eye's not going to work. You don't know the oven. Every oven got a mind of its own.
Every oven's different, right?
Yeah. Every oven got a mind of its own.
They have hot spots and stuff like that.
There you go. I've been in ovens to where, oh my God, you know, it don't even get hot. I've been in ovens, I got, okay, this is going to take 20 minutes and it's burning in 5.
Exactly.
You
know, like.
So how do you vet the temperature in an oven? If it's gas or versus electric versus induction, like how do you normalize that?
Well, see, I have great people that work with me. I have my assistant named Tiffany. She'll go in. She always goes in before me.
Mm-hmm.
She'll go in. She's like 15 minutes ahead of me. And she'll go in, set the oven, turn the oven on, blah, blah, blah. She knows. And she'll know the menu. So if she knows I needed some water going for pasta, something like that.
Gotcha.
She'll start it on and stuff like that. So she takes care of all that stuff. Then I kind of put my hand in there and I'll kind of dictate and stuff like that. And then if shit. And
oh, you got thermometer hands?
Nah. And then Tiffany will hit me up like, okay, yeah, there's plenty of room. Are they going to be on top of us? Mm. So mentally.
So she prepared you mentally?
She prepared me mentally. She'll let me know, okay, well, she'll be like, oh, chef, that's good. The, you know, the kitchen's separate, so they're not going to be around us.
Okay.
Or she's about like, they're going to be on top of us.
Yeah.
Or da-da-da-da-da. Like
laying
that.
Out the game plan.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. You got a game plan, and then you go there, and then you, about an hour and a half, about an hour and a half, and then you get yourself going, and then I try to have plate up ready by like 15 minutes before.
Yeah.
So, too, it's like, this is something else. I want all these younger chefs. Know your product. Know what you're talking about. Because mm-hmm. your food tastes better. For when you don't go up there and say, okay, we got Wagyu beef or we have gumbo, and you can tell a story.
Yeah.
My grandmother taught me, like, I'm excited about you guys having this gumbo or seafood gumbo. Because I remember my grandmother taught me how to make a roux, man. And I mean, I love this roux. This roux took about 2 hours to make. And that people get excited over
it. Yeah. You I'm getting excited.
You, so-
you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
It's not just actually just, you're not just cooking.
Right.
You're not just preparing.
It's an experience.
It's an experience, and it's education, and it's entertainment.
But now that's for, let's say, that's just for like an event, like somebody just for the night.
Right, right.
When you have like a Reggie Bush or a client that you're with for a while, how does it work with that?
Well, you build that right there is all about a relationship.
Yeah.
You build a relationship. I know you. You know, okay. I knew what Reggie wanted before Reggie knew what he wanted.
Gotcha.
I knew how he moved. Mm-hmm. I knew, or like when I worked with Stace Augment, I knew like, okay, on game day, I would give him a lot of carbs because I had sugar for energy and things like that. People, you know, those are things you got to know.
You would balance out their diet for them.
Yeah, yeah. I would know like, okay, hey, he's off the day. Okay, but he's going on a four game road trip. So when they're on the road, they're going to eat what they want, how they want, stuff like that. Mm. So then you got to balance it off so where he can put a certain amount of calories on.
Mm-hmm.
So where you give him calorie room. I call it calorie room. Because I don't care. They're not going
to. True.
When, I mean, I'm not around. They're going to do what they want to do.
True.
You know what I mean? So I'll cut calories here or whatever so they can have it. So they're not losing any again. And then when they come back,
I'll
get them back on the routine. So, it, I mean, it's, I'm telling you, man, it's a science to this. That's why it's just not easy. And then you gotta be about this life, man. You got to sleep, eat, and breathe this. When I'm off, there's no such thing as off. People say, when you off, I might not physically be in the kitchen. I'm here with you guys right now, and I got
to. You got some stuff in your mind right now working.
But I got a dinner tonight in New Orleans that I got people on right now. They're in the kitchen prepping right now. I go on my phone, and I go to my, and I can see them in the kitchen prepping for tonight's dinner.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
And everything's laid out for them and stuff like that. You know.
Always working.
Always working, but I got a good team now.
Yeah, so you built a team.
I built a team, and then when, you know, unless something burning, don't call me. Unless the don't call me, because you got to be able to fix it.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You got, because also too is you get paid very well. Number one, and number two, this is a heck of an experience. Check this out. This is what I always tell people. You know, I work for a lot of, you know, I've been blessed. I work for a lot of high profile mm-hmm. people, and I always think in my mind, I'm like, where would I ever have the opportunity to sit down and like someone this powerful to have this much power to have their attention like this, you know what I mean? So for that window, say we're serving the soup or whatever, I got them, all eyes on me. This big CEO or this big whatever, I got his attention. He's looking, I'm in control of this whole
situation
right now. I can dictate how this whole flow of this whole thing goes because it's on me and all eyes on me. So I got a stage.
Mm. Yeah.
And you got to take advantage of it, but you got to be ready. You got to be ready mentally, physically, you know, whatever it is, your spiritual walking, you got to be ready, man.
You can't
go in there slacking. You can't go in there, you know, with all this stuff on your mind. Da, 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 da. Don't bring your problems in there.
True.
You got to go in there. You got to get it.
I'm curious. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that clients request that you just don't like preparing?
Oh, well, I would say I don't like preparing. I think, I mean, because I love food or something like that. I know, but I will say I've had clients that, well, we have gluten-free and we had vegetarians and that, and that's fine.
And you make all your pastas, and, like you said, bread from scratch. So,
And that's fine. You do. And I've had dinner with, well, my sister, she's a vegetarian and that. But then I go and you stuff like that, and I'm like, she got two to-go plates of pork and ribs and chicken. I'm like, what?
Are you sure? I was a vegetarian. That's a compliment to you.
So I'll get stuff like that. So I wouldn't say nothing I like that. But I will say, the owner from Cane's in New Orleans.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Really nice guy. I did a dinner from him.
The chicken place?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we were starting to get him here.
Oh, really? Well, I did a dinner for him. And he loved this certain menu from Galatoire's in New Orleans, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So his assistant hired me, and they wanted me to duplicate this dinner, this duplicate that he had him and his wife go every year for the anniversary. And I said, look, man, check this out. I'm Chef Gaston, that's Galatoire's. I can create the dinner. I'm not going to make it like Galatoire's.
So yeah, he has his own style, his own flavor, everything.
Now, I'll make the turtle soup. I'll make the quail. But it's going to be Chef Gaston's.
A way to set the expectation.
Right, yeah. Right. And it's going to be good and stuff like that. Yeah. I'm not even trying to say it's going to be better than theirs. I don't know. But it's going to be Chef Gaston.
So it's going to be yours.
And the thing is, and what got them was they respected that. Mm. They was like, I like that. So if you want me going in and create Galatoire's menu,
That's not what I do.
I can't do it.
Make me a bicycle clown?
Yeah. That's not what I do. I am Chef Gaston.
Exactly.
This is what you asked for. I'm going to give you me.
Right. And we nailed it and everything was great. And we had an awesome time.
Yeah.
But it was pretty cool, man. It was definitely cool, man. So you just, honestly, man, in this game, and in this new game, and in this, you have so many answers, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So don't say you don't know. Mm. You pick up that phone. You can Google, YouTube, something, figure it out. Don't say you don't know. You know what I mean? You can make a phone call. I travel all over the country. I go to Vegas. One time they didn't have crawfish. I went there to go do something for DeMarcus Cousins. They didn't have crawfish. You know, this network is so small that a chef knows somebody that knows somebody.
Yeah.
A purveyor here, a purveyor here. And I had a chef. As a matter of fact, the guy, his name is Scott. He's the guy that beat me on Chop. I was on Chop. He's the guy that beat me. Well, he's based out of Vegas. So I was going to Vegas to go do something for DeMarcus Cousins, and I needed a certain product.
Yeah.
So I called Scott. He said, let me call my man, and blah, 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 and they had it for you.
Gotcha.
So you got to make, you know, you got to be resourceful, and you got to make it work, man.
So it sounds like you're traveling, you're busy, you have your team. What is your personal life like?
Well, honestly.
Do you have one?
I'm addicted to tennis, man. I love playing tennis, man. Okay. I play tennis, man, all the time. I play that 3 days a week. I love CrossFit, man. I got into CrossFit years ago for mental reasons. Mm-hmm. For me, it was when I would walk to the CrossFit gym, a CrossFit workout, I would look at the board and my eyes would get watery. I'm not lying, brother. Because I can't do that. I can't do power. I can't do. You want me to do push a sled? You want me to what? Climb a rope? You want me to what? What? I can't. Who does this? I used to be like, who pays somebody to come in here
and give you pain?
Yeah, beat you. Like,
yes.
I didn't think like that. Yeah.
So what role does the fitness play?
It's mental. For me, it's all mental. Okay. It's all mental because it's like, that's not my area. That's not what I do. I'm not trying to be a professional tennis player. I'm not trying to go compete in the CrossFit games. But when I go there and do things that I physically don't think I can do, and I do them, it's like it's so rewarding to me.
Absolutely.
When I go into a kitchen and you say feed these 100 people, and that I'm very humble and I'm not trying to brag. That's effortless to me. That's effortless. Okay, we got a game plan. Bah, 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 bah. You do it. That's what you do. I don't even got to think about it. No pressure, no stress, no nothing. Got it. Go do a tennis match, playing with somebody that, you know what I mean? And then even if I, because I'm not a tennis player, dude, mm-hmm. you're supposed to beat me. And if I win or even if I come close to beating you, I'm like, wow. You know what I mean?
So it's an accomplishment. It's something to challenge you.
Right, it definitely challenged me. That's my personal life. I'm really, my kids are older now. I got a daughter, 31. I got my baby girl, 21, who's getting ready to graduate from LSU. Being a father, man.
Congratulations.
I take so much, man. I love that, man. I love feel being you. I like that, and I'm really big in sports. I like, you know, watching the Pelicans. I'm definitely a big Saints fan, LSU, or anything Louisiana, man, yeah. I'm all about, man. I hang out in the Bayou a lot. I got certain sponsors. I'm sponsored by Dad Sauce and Dr. Bill's, a syrup company. Mm-hmm. And Dad Sauce is out of the Bayou in Morgan City, right outside of Lafayette. Mm-hmm. And I go out there, and I'm able to go in the swamps and play. And so we go alligator, turtle in.
Oh, wow.
And,
man.
And it's so much fun, man. I love it. I love it.
All right. So I'm glad you mentioned Louisiana. So take your chef hat off for a second, mm-hmm. and put your ambassador hat on. And I want to know about boudin. So talk really? To me about some Louisiana things like that.
Well, boudin is basically it's like a sausage with like rice and all these different spices into a casing. It's very, very good in so different ways. This place called, when you go on that I-10, you go to a place called Morgan City, you got this place called Don's, you got this place called Best Stop and stuff like that. And you can get them all on the side of the road.
Okay.
And it's a rice mixture with ground pork and all these different spices.
It almost?
Mm-hmm. And people to pull over, get gas, go on a gas station, and get them a hot boudin link and just eat it. And it's so good. A little spicy.
Okay.
It depends on what you want. There's just different versions of it.
What about king cake?
Well, king cake, that's a New Orleans, that's a Mardi Gras thing. That's
okay.
A Mardi Gras. And, you know, if you get the baby, the tradition is you have to, you're the next one to buy the king cake. And there's so many different versions of king cake. This place
so describe to the people. So there's a little trinket.
There's a little trinket in it.
And it's baked into it.
It's baked into it, and you don't know where it's at. And when you're cutting it up, and, you know, everybody's eating, well, you got the baby. So that means, so if I brought 5 king cakes, mm-hmm. and you sit here, mm-hmm. you got to buy the next 5. And
got, okay.
And then it goes on and goes on and goes on. So it's all about who got the baby. Sometimes people will get the baby and try to hide it like they ain't get the baby.
So if you get the baby, you got to pay next.
Yeah, you're right. You got to pay next. And, and also, too, you got to be careful, man, if you get to bite into the baby. It's not like moist and soft. It's a plastic piece of
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, so it's cool. New Orleans has a lot to offer, man. I mean, from the etouffees, the gumbo, the dirty rice, the beignets, and stuff like that. I work with this company called The Chef in the Dish out of Canada, and they have different chefs from all around the world. And mm-hmm. I represent the South. I represent Cajun and Creole.
Mm-hmm.
So people go through The Chef in the Dish and hire me to Zoom or Skype into their kitchen, and we'll cook traditional New Orleans food. Like, matter of fact, right before
that sounds great.
Check out The Chef in the Dish. Right before I flew here today, I flew in last night, I had a show with some people out of Canada, and we made etouffee, we made cold pecans, made Creole vinaigrette, and some seasoned rice. And we go online, and they get the recipes, and we cook it together, and it's so much fun.
I love that.
And for me to be able to share New Orleans, Louisiana experience, it's just amazing. And it's so cool to see how many people get excited over.
And this was remote.
Yeah, yeah.
We were just talking about that.
Yes, we were.
I'm in my kitchen, and they're in theirs. You get a grocery list. You get a time. They show you how to log in. You got a kitchen prep person that's going to come in. And like you kind of was doing, it's going to set mm-hmm. you up. Okay, you have your camera set up. Chef's going to come on at 3. You come on in, da-da-da-da-da. And we can do it from 1, and we've done up to, I mean, I've done to 50 people. I mean,
We
just did a show on trends in 2024 coming up. And one of the things that I predicted was learning things virtually, from a private chef, things like that. Exactly what you're talking about.
Google when you're on your downtime. Google the chef in the dish. We have chefs from Africa, Japan, Italy, Thailand, Spain, all over.
So and chef is a dish
subscription based?
Yeah, the chef in the dish.
In a dish.
Yeah, chef and the dish.
Chef and the dish.
Okay. It's not a subscription based.
Okay.
So you can go on and say, hey, I want to cook. And people, COVID, man, we were
busy, I'm sure.
No, we wasn't busy. We was beyond. So you figure, man.
We weren't busy. We were beyond busy.
You figure, man, you know, because we all of us are chefs. You know?
Yeah.
So we all have our own lives, stuff like that. So you figure if I do 4 or 5 classes a month, you know, that's a lot for the chef.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? COVID, man, I was averaging 26 classes a month.
Oh, man.
Because everybody was at home.
Yeah.
You know
true,
what I mean? So
true,
it was
true.
Like, so it was one of them situations to where it's like, hey, you know, I haven't been around my people in the office. So, you know, you would say, hey, I want to have everybody from the office come in and we zoom in and we cook together. We drink wine and have a chef come in from New Orleans or Italy or whatever. And we cook something. We can talk, see each other.
Yes.
It was cool. It was definitely cool.
That's really cool.
I would like to know who cooks for you.
Well, no one. Oh. Honestly, man, no. I mean, I'm a steak guy. I mean, mm-hmm. And every day I got to be somewhere. Every day I'm cooking stuff like that. I'm very simple, man. Mm-hmm. I get that all the time, man. People, what's your favorite place to eat? What do you like to do? I love Thai food. I love steaks and stuff like that. I'm very simple, so no one really cooks for me. And I was just talking to somebody about this, and for some reason, being a chef, people are intimidated to cook for you. You know, and I'm not that dude. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm really not that dude. I would be so, if you made me a peanut butter jelly sandwich, I knew you took the time to make it, to spread the peanut butter on the, you know, to get the proper jelly and stuff like that. That says a lot. You know what I mean?
I feel, I enjoy cooking. By no means am I a chef, but I feel, and a lot of people in my family do cook. I feel that a lot of it comes from the love. Like, I might put something together and just, but when somebody else does it for me, it transfers into the food. Would you agree with
Absolutely,
that?
Absolutely, man, because it's a part of them, number one. And it's the time. It's the time, it's the effort, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? That they put into going to the store to get product, to come here.
Get the bread, get the jelly. Yeah.
Stuff like that. And to just make sure you spread it on evenly. It's effort. It takes effort.
Yeah.
True.
And that says a lot, you know what I mean? That someone took the time out to do that. So to have a chef come in to prepare you a meal that he's putting, making pasta, rolling dough, proofing bread, not going to your local grocery store around the corner, going to a produce purveyor to get the best berries and the seasonal Louisiana strawberries and
cream tomatoes. You gotta go to your plug.
That's priceless. And I mean, you know what I mean? So when people call and be like, well, that's too much. Can we do it? No, man, we can't.
No.
We can't. Because it's just too much. It's just too much.
We're not sacrificing.
It is what it is.
Right, number one. And also, too, it's an art. You know what I mean? Yes. I look at ourselves as, you know, people call me, and I do a lot of stuff. So people call me, hey chef, I need that, and I'm like, it's not that simple, man. You know, I'm just like, you know, it's a feeling.
I don't got this shit waiting for you,
right?
And it's in my freezer.
Right, you're right. You nailed it. And you said it's a process. You know what I mean? It's definitely a process. Then, you know, even like just cooking meat, you gotta cook it, then you gotta let it sit out, then you gotta let it rest, you gotta let that. There's so many things that go into it, man. There's so many things you gotta go into.
I tell people the story of when I first started in the restaurant. I was a line cook, and this is many years ago, and I had to prep the pickles because they didn't come sliced. Yeah. I go, wait, I got to slice the pickles? I thought they just came sliced. So something as simple as that, you see it on your plate. Maybe now they do it, but somebody sliced those lemons. Somebody sliced those pickles. And that's just a small part. Right. That's nothing. Yeah. That's a garnish.
Yeah, absolutely right. Or I see people that are like, what gives me, like, I got people that come behind me and be like, oh, just say, you know, you have like a center cut pork chop, stuff like that. And they take and they cook it and it's good. But in my mind, I'm like, man, if you just would have like taken the 30 minutes out and brine that thing and then made a little quick little sauce. I mean, it would have taken it to a whole new level.
I mean,
it was good what you did. Don't get me wrong. Yours was good.
Yeah.
But if you want to separate yourself, you could have brought that thing to a whole nother level, man. You know,
I have two things for you before we let you go. Mm-hmm. I notice you do breakfast. I like breakfast, especially, I mean, I don't eat breakfast unless I'm on vacation.
I love it on vacation.
I love breakfast. I'm a breakfast person. So I want to know what your thing is. Do you prefer maple syrup or honey?
Oh, man. I'm a maple syrup.
There you go.
I knew he was going to say that.
What about French toast or pancakes?
Man. Well, no. Well, I'm a French toast guy, man.
Same.
Oh, really?
I got to know about those. You did the King's Hawaiian, the Hawaiian French toast.
No. Great. I was getting ready to go there, man. Now I had a client. So I work for athletes, so they'll be on the road or they'll go somewhere and they'll try something and then they'll screenshot it.
Yeah.
Chef, let's try that. Then I had to figure it out. And I was like, huh, Hawaiian roll, friend. And I didn't, okay, cool. I seen Hawaiian rolls and stuff like that. I said, oh, okay. All right, French toast. And I did my little twist on it, stuff like that. Those things were so good.
Man. I believe it.
It was, the Hawaiian rolls are already sweet.
Yeah, true.
So when I made my little custard, soaked them, then I seared them off, put them in the oven. The response I got on social media for them Hawaiian, French, those things, I'm like, this is a keeper.
There you go.
Man. And those things were, you know, you do French toast, you get your brioche bread or whatever it is you want to use, your French toast, and you do it, you soak it and whatever. them Hawaiian rolls toasted to a whole another level, man. Oh. And everybody was like, what made you think of that? You know, it's just, you know, being open-minded because, and here I am. For years, I walked right past Hawaiian rolls.
True.
I never even thought twice about it. And I'm like, wow, man. Cooking is endless, man.
Yeah.
It's endless.
What about, do you do scrambled eggs or omelets?
I'm an omelet guy. I'm definitely an omelet guy because you can be very creative. What about
I love
you?
Omelets.
You an omelet
I like both.
I can do both.
I like both. I like the scrambled for the sheer quickness of it.
Okay.
You know, you don't have to think. With the omelet, you really have to put the love into it.
Because you can mess up an omelet.
Right.
Yeah. If you flip it wrong, it can be, I mean, it still tastes delicious, but it's the presentation that you want in the end might not be the same that you were dreaming of.
Plus, when you put this, some people put the, let's say you're doing peppers and onions and stuff. Some people put it in the,
Do you cook your peppers on first and put the egg on top of it, or do you cook and then add to that?
No, I'll cook my peppers stuff to get them translucent, to get them sweet and stuff like
See?
That.
See, that's another level.
Then I'll add it because I want to get the flavors and pull the sweetness out of the peppers. Mm-hmm. That's what I would do. So, you know, that's what I mean. But let me ask you this: Do you got to have ingredients in your scrambled eggs, or you just straight plant scrambled?
Plain scrambled, salt and pepper at the end.
Gotcha.
Do you do bacon or sausage?
I'm a sausage guy, man.
I'm a bacon guy.
So many people are bacon guys, man, but I'm a sausage guy, man.
Okay. Well, for me, I love sausages, but sometimes they're inconsistent, you know, depending on the kind that you're using or whatever.
Right.
So that's why bacon's bacon all the time.
Yeah. Right. That's true. I like that. My dad was a sausage guy all the way, but for me, it's bacon only because we didn't do sausage in the Caribbean, really.
Mm.
It was mostly bacon. Yeah. We didn't do no sausage. Never. Well, not breakfast sausage. Put it that way. Okay. We didn't do breakfast sausage.
Okay.
Would you do strawberry or blueberry?
Man, I'm strawberry all the way.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Man, if you get Louisiana strawberry during the right time, oh my God. Those things are so nice and sweet, man. Strawberry, anything.
Strawberries all the way. You do chicken and waffles or chicken and biscuits?
Chicken and waffles, man.
Okay.
Chicken and waffles, man.
All right.
What about you?
I like the biscuit.
Really? Okay.
Well, yeah, I'm a biscuit
fan. I can go either way. I'm more prone to biscuits. I've only had waffles a few times.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting to find the master chicken and waffle that everybody that's, you know, because I've had people, you know, I've had it at different places, but
mm-hmm.
I'm waiting to find that one that changes my life.
But also too is like also people take the chicken and like drown it in. I won't do that. I won't put the sweetness of the chicken. Mm-hmm. I don't. I just like the chicken and the waffle. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, take a piece of the chicken, dip it in the waffle. And
okay.
All right. So this last one is unrelated, and I'm gonna let you go on this. Do pineapples belong on pizza?
No, man.
There you go. There you go, man.
I didn't even have to think about that, man. I can go somewhere and see pineapple. I'm That's a great question. I like that. No, and what about you?
I don't do Hawaiian pizzas now.
No. There you have it. Thank you so much, Chef Gaison.
Definitely.
We do this for you each and every week.
Yes.
If you are interested in anything that we talked about, Chef Gaison, tell everyone where to find you and what you have coming up next.
Well, I'm getting ready to go back to the Masters. I'm excited about that. I was one of the chefs selected to go back to the Masters.
Oh, that's awesome.
Third year, man, so I'm definitely excited about that. But if you're definitely in New Orleans, man, you can go to my website, chefgaison.com. That's G-A-S-O-N. Y'all can be booked on there. Or go to my Instagram, shoot me a DM, that's chef_Gaison. That's the best ways to find me, man.
Awesome.
And just go in there. And it's all linked up, so it'll all bring it to where you
And then can they find that? Well, we were talking about the chef.
Oh, Chef and the Dish. Yeah, go to my website.
Okay.
And go in there. Or you can go on the Chef and the Dish. There's a, you know, they say select a chef. I'm your New Orleans
chef. Oh, awesome.
And then, you know, you can go in to see all the different things we make. We can make hurricanes together, etouffee, beignets, po' boy, gumbos. It just goes on. The list goes on.
Love it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter.
I'm Dana Villain. Subscribe, people.
We will see you next week.
Later.